Blog Talk Radio.
Beyond Fear Blog Talk Radio Program. I'm Susan Larison-Dan, and I am so very delighted to welcome all of you back. We've had kind of a quiet month of November, just due to life itself happening. So I've had to kind of slow down the show a little bit, and thankfully my month of November actually ended in quite a quantum way with some just amazing, miraculous things that we can all experience this quantum reality. And I'm also coming off just having watched Interstellar yesterday, and I know some of you have probably seen that movie, and it's tempting to do a show on that movie alone, although I will say that my experience of the movie itself was quantum, even though the movie is about multidimensional reality. What I found so fascinating about watching it, as is true of life itself, is that I myself was having a quantum experience just as the movie unfolded and in the various details. And it's an amazing film. And I encourage you to check it out, and maybe you'll have your own experience. And keep an eye on those books. That's what I would suggest. And, you know, in reality itself, it's those little details that jump out at us. They can really assist us with synchronistically guiding us on our paths. And we are finding in the mainstream culture now, which is so wonderful, movies like Interstellar showing up, which are opening the doorways for everyone to understanding what is going on. And today, I have the perfect guest to help us understand this. Joan Cirio is returning to the show today. Joan is the author of the book Hardwired to Heaven, Download Your Divinity Through Your Heart and Create Your Deepest Desires. And today we are going to be focusing on the sacred coordinate. And I will allow Joan to introduce that in a moment. But Joan has a Bachelor of Science degree in biology and a Master of Science in science education. And interestingly enough, just like in this movie Interstellar that I just watched yesterday, she is yet another voice, and there are so many now, who are wonderfully blending science with spirituality and mysticism, because this is the true nature of quantum reality. So if we truly want to know what reality is all about, we have no choice but to combine mysticism with science, because that is what is. Joan, she has facilitated workshops everywhere. She is the creator of integrative message therapy, and she also founded the Coorescence School of Self-Mastery, and that was based on her first book, which was called In the Key of Life, An Activational Journey to the Soul. I encourage you to visit Joan's website after the show. I'll I'll mention it right at the outset here, hardwiredtoheaven.com. And since I so rarely mention it at the outset and really should, I know many of you have been discovering the shows in the archive at frontierbeyondfear.com. And that's also where you can find Joan's previous show as well as all the archive shows. So without further delay, I am just so delighted to welcome back to the show Joan Cirio. Welcome back, Joan.
Well, thank you, Susan. I'm so happy to be back and so pleased with your news of last month ending on such a positive note. And it just warmed my heart as we're going to talk about the heart today.
Yes, it's all about the heart. And I will say to the listeners, those of you who listened to my show with Diane Collins knew that I had received some information about a loved one's health situation. And I'm happy to share with the audience that that situation really came to an amazing conclusion. And although, you know, there's always some ongoing things in life, you know, it was really quite amazing. So, yes, and it's been all about the heart and, you know, it's all about love. And that's what I appreciate about your work, Joan, is that, and more and more, it's everywhere. It really was in that movie Interstellar, too, where, you know, we think, what does love have to do with scientific reality, you know, scientific notions of reality? Well, you know, what does love have to do with it, Joan? Let's start there.
What's love got to do with it? I remember that song.
Yes.
Everything. Love's got everything to do with it.
Yes.
You can't separate it out, you know. Love is God's architect, you know. And
yeah,
everything is made of love through this spiral, this golden mean spiral of love. I mean, everything
yes.
is love when you get down to it. So, yeah, you can't separate it out. Of course it's all about love. It's just that, you know, we forgot for a while. And we're just realizing it now. And so it's like, wow, really? Yeah, okay. And I touch on love and attempt to describe it, because I say that it really can't be defined in a chapter in the book on logging into the heart of creation.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I kind of jumped right into the love aspect of all of this, but I suppose I should come back around and give you the opportunity, Joan, to reintroduce yourself to the audience for those of you who didn't, or for those in the audience who didn't hear the last show. How is it that someone such as you, who has such a wonderful scientific background, how did your journey take you to marry this to mysticism and to lead you on this path?
Well, it was quite the journey, and, you know, I have to say that it's just part of who I am, first of all.
Yeah.
Because I can remember as a child just having this, you know, love relationship with the divine, and that
yeah.
was always there. And then I just got so enamored with biology and with life, I wanted to know more about it, but, you know, the spirituality on the back burner. And then as it happens at least several times in our lives, you know, when we hit a crossroads and whatever, it was time. It was time. I just knew, my heart told me, it's time to let
yeah.
all this other stuff go and just focus on my own spiritual growth and on spirituality itself. So I delved into that, and then during that time I blended the two.
Yes. It seems like what you describe is a very, it's a path that occurs more and more, where we can see the threads of all of this coming together, even in our childhood, where, you know, and we're all spiritual beings. And how is it that we think that, you know, when we go down scientific paths, and I'll remind the audience, I have a math degree and a master's in computer science and went down that path as well, that, you know, we are spiritual beings, first of all, and that we can combine the two very much so. And there are reasons why people like us are waking up.
Definitely. And you know, I don't have to tell you that it can all be boiled down to numbers, too. So
yes.
So you started at the fundamental level, didn't you, Susan?
Very much so. Very much so. And, you know, I've often said that mathematics, anyone who's pursued any higher math at all, it's the study of infinity. You spend all your time, most of your time, studying infinity. And what is that really? So,
yeah, and the parts of infinity too. You know, how do we divide it? How do we multiply it? How do we subtract something from it or add to it? You know,
yes. So, with that brief introduction, and I do encourage people to listen to the previous show as more of an introduction. Now, what I want to do is take us closer in to your work that you described in your book, Hardwired to Heaven, and let's explore the sacred coordinate. And something we may do, and we could have done this before the show, but we may do it after, is we may put out some visual aids. So those of you listening to this show later, what I'm going to do with Joan afterwards is I'm going to see if we can put a few visual aids up on the Frontier Beyond Fear site reference there. And you'll be able to see it off the show page so that you can see what we're talking about pictorially from her book, because I think that might be helpful. But now what we're going to do is just, Joan, help us to introduce this concept to us once again of the sacred coordinate.
All right. Well, it sounds kind of foreign, I'm sure, but it really will make sense at the end of this. And
yes.
So it's all about the heart, and it's about the heart of the heart. And our heart of hearts is this sacred coordinate. And in a lot of different traditions, called the special place in the heart, the sacred place in the heart, where we commune with the divine. And I call it the sacred coordinate because in this place that's located, And this is my interpretation of it. Others may be different. But in my interpretation of it, it's located within the physical heart. It's an interdimensional place, too. We'll get to the other dimension of it in a moment. But the human heart has four chambers. And, excuse me, one second. Excuse me, I'm getting over a cold here.
Yes, no problem. It's going around. Yes, go ahead.
So there's a cross in the heart. So there's two upper chambers, two lower chambers of the heart, and so there's the tissue that separates them, forms a cross. And so where they meet, and in that area, would be this. I call it the sacred coordinate because we live in a holographic universe, which means the hermetic axiom, as above, so below, as within, so without, applies.
Yes.
So since we live in this unified field of energy, we're going to talk science now. We live in this unified field of energy, and it's a spiraling grid. And what's a grid? It's an XY axis. We have like grid paper, you know, just think of grid paper posted all over the heavens here, okay, for a little bit of a visual here. And it happens to be shaped like a torus, which looks like a donut, okay? And so you have all these spirals, and you have these lines of energy running, you know, one way and then another, and they form these grid units. So what the four chambers of our heart represent for our hearts is mirrored up into the unified field, into that grid unit. And I have a picture of it, and maybe we can put this up on the website later.
Yes.
The holographic
grid
unit.
Yes, I'd like to.
Which mirrors, you know, and I'll show you the four chambers and the cross and the heart and then the holographic grid unit. So you have an XY axis there. So what this is, in my estimation, is the blending of light and matter, of the masculine and the feminine, of the positive and the negative, of these polar opposites that are there that are really, you know, for anything to be created, there has to be these opposites coming together. And that's what birthed our being. And that's what's being mirrored up into the universe, into the unified field in the heart that I call a coordinate. Not only because it looks like a coordinate on a grid system on the XY axis, but also because of what the word represents.
Yes.
So to coordinate, you know, we're combining the code, we're combining things, we're bringing things together. And when you ordinate or ordinate, it's to align, to concentrate, or to ordain. So we're bringing into common action, we're harmonizing, we're bringing the masculine and the feminine together in a very harmonic way. And that's the God point. You know, when you balance the masculine and the feminine within, then you enter the kingdom. You know, when you make the one into two and the da-da-da-da-da, you know, that quote from the Bible or from the
Yes,
when Thomas,
two or more,
you know,
yes.
You mm-hmm. enter that. You enter the, you know, the kingdom of heaven. And that's what it is. And this is really the hardwired connection to heaven that I talk about from the book. That's your... Either your USB port, your USB cord comes down here, or if
yeah,
you
I
like
love that.
It.
Uh-huh. Only multidimensionally.
Or if you want another visual, it's like your spiritual umbilical cord.
Yes.
Okay, only it doesn't go to the umbilicus. It goes to the heart. It goes to this place. But it's this tether, this energetic tether that connects you to your home base. That interdimensional sacred coordinate up on the unified field, that's your home base in the universe. Your soul came from there. And that holds your unique divine blueprint and the code for your being. And so when we talk about, you know, our spiritual home, for me, that's what I see. That's my spiritual home. And each of us have our own little address or URL, if you will, as we're doing an analogy with computers, on the unified field. And so we each have our own little sites. But if you remember, I talked about these lines as a spiraling grid. So everything's spiraling around, and then these points are all connected.
Yes.
You know, if you could wrap a piece of grid paper around that donut, you know, you'd see all these lines are connected. So all these points are connected on the grid. So that means that each one of us, each one of our hearts, is connected. We're hardwired to be connected to each other, which is interesting.
Yes.
And we're also hardwired to be part of, not just connected, tethered to, but we're actually part of that grid. We're part of the unified field. The field that scientists say is what, you know, how everything gets manifested from this field of energy. So we have this place in our hearts where the field flows through us and at the same time part of that field.
Yes. Yes.
So it's interesting because when you, there's a couple different quotes that I use that really explain this quite well. And either from J.J. Herzog's book, the book Analogy, Keys of Enoch, the very first key is we live in one in many universe.
Yes.
Or from the Bible, in my father's house are many mansions. So we have this one unifying container that holds an infinite number of multiverses or, you know, infinite universes. You know, and I think even Sim Harriman talks about how this is possible to have a container that can hold infinity, as we're talking about infinity in the beginning of the show. So,
yes.
So it's holding all of this together into this one container. And what's interesting is that each one of us is part of the field. So if and this isn't possible, but if our soul ceased to exist, there'd be a hole. You know, there'd be something missing.
Which wouldn't be possible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. I mean, we're all so important. I mean, that's how important we are. That's how special we are. That's how powerful we are. I mean, you know, it wouldn't be the same. But that's not even possible. You know, because the one that unifying container and the many, us, have to exist simultaneously.
You know,
for
I want to stop.
To have meaning.
I want to stop for a moment and really emphasize this point. It's so synchronistic because it's funny, even independent of anything you've said, this has come up for me again and again. And I think it's a concept that we often lose sight of, is we lose sight of there being the one, which is the capital O, and the one, which is a small O, but there's really no distinction. And yet the one, who each of us is, every one of us, is a special creation. And I think it's really easy to lose sight of, you know, there are a lot of, we get confused with notions like the ego and, not paying attention to the self. And that has its issues. But the fact is, we can't lose sight of our presence as ourselves. And I know later you talk about loving ourselves, that to love ourselves, we have to recognize our presence as a part of this greater scheme, but that, you know, we are important, you know, and I feel that your work brings that forward too, and more work is starting to reveal this, and it's key to the love. It really is very key to that love.
Mm-hmm. Because we really need to be reminded of it. We forgot.
Yes.
Well, look at our society. Look at how, you know, we've been coming from our head. You know, we're not coming from our heart.
Yes.
I mean, look at all the rioting and now the protests and all, because, you know, it's like, should we be treating each other this way? You know? So, yeah. And I like what you said about the one with a capital O.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I have to say that a lot of our work, and I mean spiritual work, is about, I don't know how to phrase this, maybe finding the ego's place in all of this. Because I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because
if I do,
that smaller one, like I said, if you don't exist, I mean, you're such an integral piece of this puzzle. You know, just think of each of us, we're a puzzle piece. And I talk about this in my first book. We wouldn't know what the image is. You know, if there were so many of them missing, but what is it? I don't know what it is. It has no meaning.
Yes.
It's so important for each of us to be there. So it's not to say we're not important, but it's not to say that I'm so important that I am the capital O, one.
Yeah, in a power, yes, in a self-aggrandizing way. I mean, in an unconditionally access to co-creative energy kind of way, or unconditionally loving, I mean, we are, you know, I have this image in my mind, Joan. You make me think, or make my heart flow into things. I have this image of a big O with little O's in it, but they're contained, you know, they're all apart. They're not separate, and every part of creation matters. But that doesn't mean, you know, what happens in our society? You know, we're seeing this strife right now. Well, that's because that's when someone tries to take power over someone else. You know, whether, that's this concept of I am God in a oppressive, way. And that can emerge through the ego. That's exactly what emerges through the ego in the wrong kind of way, as to the, you know, not the unconditionally, you know, we are God in the sense of we are one with the one, with the capital O, is what I see.
Right, right. Yeah, and as you were talking about the capital O with the small O's, my last, I started laughing because When I was in high school, my gym teacher used to call me Big C, Little O, and all I could think of was all these little O's in there.
Well, yeah, there you go.
So there's my visual.
Yeah. Well, see, that's a synchronicity, and I love how that happens. And, you know, that was my experience of that movie Interstellar yesterday, is that I was getting little references like that to my childhood. And so it's kind of funny you should mention that. And, you know, reality is just like that. And you know, you talk about in your book, Joan, about how consciousness is upgrading, I think is the term you use towards the beginning of the book, and you refer to this later, is that I think many of us are noticing, I don't see how we can't notice, that our awareness is increasing, and we are seeing amazing, astonishing aspects of heaven that, you know, maybe as children we kind of had an awareness. In fact, if we go back to our childhood, we kind of think about, yeah, you know, we kind of knew this or that. But I mean, mm-hmm. it's just becoming mm-hmm. so blatant and magical. It's an amazing time to be alive.
It is. It is. And you know, if you want to look at the science of it, the sun has been quite active lately, and that's certainly adding to a lot of this. But I like to use this analogy, since we're on the radio. I like to use this radio analogy. Let's get back to the heart about this, because our hearts are opening, and I feel that a lot of the things that are happening that, you know, you may look at and say, oh, you know, it may be tragic, and yet it's all an opportunity for us to open our hearts. So I look at it as, you know, for the most part in Western society, we've been creating or, you know, operating through the brain, through the mind. You know, we've been all up in our head.
Yeah.
And we've been using the brain's electromagnetic field. And so I liken that to using the AM bandwidth. Okay? We've been using the AM bandwidth in kilohertz. All right? And that's how we've been tuning things in. And we can only get so many stations, you know? You're limited there. So, but then, you know, I talk about in the book, we can switch to the FM bandwidth when we open this channel through the pineal or the middle pillar, really in the Kabbalah, really what it is. And we can switch to the FM dial. We go in the FM bandwidth. Now we're into megahertz. So now we're 1,000 times stronger, you know, in bringing in the signal than we were in our head. And so now we can bring in other information that we couldn't before. That wasn't, we couldn't access it there.
Joan, I know that you have a background in biology, and you very quickly mentioned the pineal gland there in the midst of all of this. And I wonder, and I know you talk about this in your book as well, can we explore that a little bit? Because you certainly have a background to help us to understand, you know, what is the relationship of our physical bodies and the makeup of our brain and our, you know, how it's connected to our heart, and this divine matrix and this grid system, the sacred coordinate that is within us.
Yeah, so how the pineal gland is related to the heart, let's start there. First of all, the heart is the first organ to form in the embryo, okay, the fetus. And from the heart, from that cardiac tissue, from the heart's tissue, the first tissue to form out of that is the tongue. Now, the pineal gland, in its embryologic development, forms from the thickening of the epithelial tissue from the oral cavity. So there's this relationship of the mouth, the tongue, and the pineal gland, and the heart. And also, one way to stimulate and activate the pineal gland is to, where the hard and soft palates meet in the back of your throat, is to stimulate that with your tongue. And what I talk about in the book is the amrita, or this living water, that you will get that white drop. You'll feel that, you know, a secretion in the back of your throat. And you mystics have talked about the pineal gland for a long time, and
yeah.
that gland is associated with the sixth chakra, which is the third eye. And interestingly enough, there is photo-like receptor cells in our pineal gland.
Yeah.
And what this Dr. Klein found, he was with the National Institute for Child Health and Human Development, that he found that there's photoreceptor cells in the pineal gland of some animals, such as birds and frogs, and those can sense light. And in addition, the retina of these animals can produce a small amount of melatonin. Now, what's known about our pineal gland, because scientists are still, you know, biologists still a little scratching their heads, like, what is this there for? We do know that it produces the chemical melatonin, which regulates wake-sleep pattern. So what this suggests is that you can extrapolate that our pineal gland should be capable to sense light. Well, for those of us that meditate and that have that inner sight and we can see colors or we can see images, you know, with that third eye or with our eyes closed, we know it can see. We know this. But now science is kind of, you know, catching up with that fact, which I find that very interesting. And also, the pineal gland acts like a tuner. There's the most magnetic material is magnetite just outside the pineal gland. And so it helps us with orienting things. And the pineal gland is second only to the kidneys in blood flow. So, which is interesting because it's outside the blood-brain barrier. That's blood flow. But it's interesting because there's that relationship of the kidneys, the heart, of course, that pumps the blood, and then the pineal gland. And in Taoist practice, they talk about this golden stove or the second chakra where the kidneys are located. And when you activate this, or the kundalini moves up, goes up to the heart, and then, as I was talking about, from the pineal gland, this amrita, whatever, this white drop goes down, and they call it the red drop from the stove, goes up to the heart. When they meet, you have the stillness of mind or this God presence. You know, you enter the inner sanctum of your heart at that point. And once the pineal is activated like this, you have this channel. So it kind of acts like a periscope. The pineal acts like a periscope for the heart. I love it. And
I love that.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful analogy.
Because now you can see things. Yeah, you can tune. It's another antenna because of that magnetite, and it can tune into things that you couldn't before. And I liken all of this to the symbolism in Christianity, because not only was Jesus on a cross, okay, so there's the cross, obviously, in Christianity, but if you look at the depictions of Jesus, and with the halo, there's a cross in the halo, which looks like the sun cross, which is a circle with a cross inside it. And that, you know, if he's pointing at his heart and his heart is golden, all these golden flames coming out of his heart, as within, so without, I'm thinking that you have the sacred coronet, you have this cross within you already. When you activate the pineal gland, it kind of pops out, you know, and our aura, it becomes golden.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's what they were trying to depict in these paintings. And then the golden mandorla around Mary, you know. And, of course, it was, you know, Mary's the mother of matter, and it's shaped as the vesica Pisces, because that's everything's birthed from there. So that's just a little bit of how the pineal gland plays in with all of it.
Well, I appreciate that you shared that, because I think that, you know, we hear lots of references, or certainly I do, to that, and yet I think that it's a whole area of exploration where many of us would like more understanding. I would. I mean, I feel it's a link. I mean, what is so important is how we're biologically wired for this. I mean, like you say, hardwired to heaven, and we lose sight of that in science so much that, and it's coming out so much more in your work and in other work that, you know, we are biologically designed for these higher experiences. And, you know, as we launch into the rest of the show, I would say that we should explore, okay, so we know that, you know, we have these capabilities. How do we learn? How do we follow our hearts to create the things that we dream, to co-create our realities?
Yeah, well, the first thing is that still mind.
Yes.
If we have all that chatter and we're still up in our heads, we can't hear the heart.
Yes.
You know, yes. Be still and know that I am God.
Yes.
And if, where is God connected to us in our heart? We all know that. If you ask anybody, say, point to yourself, where do they point? They don't point to their head. They point to their heart.
Yes. Children will do that.
We instinctively know this. Yeah.
Yes, children will do that. They know that that's who they are. They know that it's in the heart space.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you can do that in a number of ways as far as quieting the mind. You know, probably some of the best ways are yoga, Tai Chi. You know.
For me, getting out, as many people who know, who follow my Facebook page, nature, that has become a huge way, although I'm getting into yoga too now and finding the links. I mean, we find that all the ways that we use connect, and, you know, the just getting out in the nature. And I find that what we focus on, it becomes, what I've found is it becomes smaller and grander at the same time. I can spend an amazing amount of time looking at a single leaf or a single tiny ripple in the water, and that's my gateway to the stillness. And it helps me immensely, because I'll share with the audience, I have before, and I know there are people out there like me, you know, I tend to be and have always been fairly active mentally, and finding ways to still my mind, sometimes a tool is helpful, and nature's a wonderful tool that's out there and available to us all. And so it's been very helpful for me, and so that's something I think can be a gateway for people.
Yes, because you use it as a form of meditation.
Yes, I do.
It becomes your meditation, you know?
It does.
You know, some people think, well, you got to sit and be still and blah, blah, blah to meditate. And there's so many different ways of doing it. And I personally would rather move my body.
Yes.
Sometimes it works, but for me, if I move my body, stuff comes through a lot faster.
Yeah.
So if I for a walk and I'm just conscious of what's around me, sometimes I'll get more information. And like you, I can be focused on something in nature and it'll just take me into another world.
Yes. Yes. I found that, you know, it started out for me totally as walking. And I get a lot from walking, definitely, all the time. And yet, now I've really combined, my walks are getting much longer because I've combining it with stopping in certain areas where I know it's quiet and I won't be disturbed. And or sometimes it's just quiet anyway where I am, and I'm able to meditate on the best way I can put it, the smallest and grandest of things, because that is the nature of reality. We're back to the little O and the big O. it exists everywhere, in all things.
Yeah, it's the fractal universe, you know. It's the macrocosm and the microcosm.
Yes. In fact, a term we haven't really entered into too much in this conversation yet is this notion of a holographic multiverse, not even using the term universe, but just, you know, here's another question that you can define for us. I will have you define it. Is, you know, the people may wonder, those who are not that scientifically inclined, they hear about the holographic nature of reality. What is a hologram, they might ask? What does that mean exactly? What does it mean?
Well, at the very smallest point of that, of what is, looks the same as the largest part of what
is.
So then we use the term fractal. I'm trying to think of a good analogy for people to grasp this. Nesting dolls.
Yeah,
so,
that's good.
The Russian nesting dolls, if you're familiar with those. You know, you take you take one, you open it out, the largest one is the one you see, and you open it up and you take one out. Oh, I can open this one up, I'm going to take one out. You know, and but they all look the same. You know, just one smaller than the other. And so that's kind of like what the holographic universe is about. And as a matter of fact, here's another similar analogy. The universe, where I was talking about the unified field, shaped like a donut or a torus. And within our body, the blood, the red blood cell, is shaped like a donut or a torus. So it gets mirrored in the body. So there's something that's very small that looks like something that's very large. Or the heart's electromagnetic field looks the same. Spore shape, or the Earth's electromagnetic field, a spore shape, which mirrors the unified field. So that's another example of how all these things get mirrored. Or if we want to look at, we were talking about the pineal, heart, and kidney, how those are related. The pineal gland looks like, it comes from the word pine, like a pine cone, looks like a pine cone, or if you're familiar with the pine nuts or pinoli nuts. That's kind of what it is, like a large pine nut. But anyways, it's conical shaped. So in other words, it's a little bit fatter on one end and smaller on the other end. So it's vortex shaped, right? What's in the center of that donut is spiraling, it's a vortex, all right?
Yes.
What's the heart look like? Well, the heart is, again, conical shaped. It's a little bit larger at the top, and then it comes down to a point we call the apex. And so, again, and even, you know, when you do MRIs of the tissues of the heart, they see how it spirals, and that's what helps it to pump the blood. Because all that spiraling tissue, it makes it more efficient. You have a greater cardiac output that way than if it was just all, like, linear. And then the kidneys. Okay, they're kidney shaped, but they're also kind of vortex shaped. And if you put the two of them together, what does it look like? A donut. You know, kind of cool.
That's amazing.
So like you were saying earlier in the show, it's like we are hardwired. You know, the more I would delve into the body and look at things, you know, and do some research, you know, the more I see that, it really is holographic. And, we really are part of heaven. You know, heaven is within. Heaven is within, and it's without as well. We're not separate from it. We're not separate from anything.
What I love about this, and I think this is part of the access point to co-creating our realities, is maybe, in fact, I would take the maybe out of this, we need to see, you know, I lived a mile from Missouri for very long, over 10 years, and that's the show me state, you know, Missouri, and it's always this show me, I'm from Missouri kind of thing, and what I'm trying to say here is that by seeing our miraculous makeup, by seeing not just us, but reality itself, and like how these Fibonacci spirals appear everywhere all over reality, that too, and that gives us more confidence. I mean, that's what we need, is we need, you know, we tend to doubt our presence as to, you know, not in an aggrandizing ego way, but in a connectedness kind of way to Tiverse, to the Creator, you know, that we are connected to. And maybe the more that we see this kind of evidence, I mean, this is what the scientists need. This is what they see, and they're just like, oh my gosh, you know, what does this mean? And there's nothing, you know, quantum physics, I mean, that upset Einstein when he first, you know, learned of that. And so I think that we need that kind of miraculous, impossible, statistically impossible reality to unfold in front of us to know that, yes, we are creators.
Yes. And I think that's part of why I was so guided to put a lot of science in this book, is that
yes,
it really helps us to wake up to that fact. Because it's been so ingrained in us that we're not important, that we're not powerful, that we're, you know, whatever, you know, we've been told and, you know, dumbed down and blah, 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 you know,
yep.
That we really need this. We really need this reassurance, and we really need to see it and see it and see it. You know, what is it, you know, a habit, you have to do something for 21 days and then it becomes a habit. So it's almost, you know, something similar to that, that you have to keep reading it and rereading it and rereading it. Oh, okay, I get it now. You know, because still, Susan, I wanted to talk about the sacred cornet because, to me, I'm like, there's so much here. I mean, this is so huge.
Yeah.
I still don't get it all. I
yeah.
don't get it all. You know,
yeah.
I can't wrap my mind around it. And I'm probably not supposed to. It's just my heart and I'm going to wrap around it. You know,
yeah.
But this is so big. You know, this is just huge, this information. When people really get it, and when I mean get it, when I talk about that, when I teach, is that you have to embody it, you know, fully embody it. That means that each one of your cells has to get it, you know. So when we get
it down
to the cellular level, and they understand
yeah.
it, because, you know, we are just a community of, you know, about 100 trillion cells of consciousness, little consciousnesses. They come and go a lot, you know. They don't have a long lifespan, some of them, you know. And God bless them, and thank you. I thank myself quite a bit, you know. But that's what we are, you know.
Yes.
Until they get it, you know, it doesn't really sink in. Well, listen to our language. It's so literal. It has to sink in. It has to go in. You know,
there you go, right there.
It's in each cell, you know. It's just so interesting that it's just literal. It really is. When you start looking at the terms about the heart and different things, I'm like, wow. You know, there it is. You want to hide something, just put it right in front of you.
Isn't that the truth? That's so true. And who better than a biologist to talk about what our cells can know and what's contained within our cells. And you know, that is a whole, we could probably do a whole show on that. I mean, there have been, I so would like to, you know what I'd like to see, and I think it's happening more and more, is we need to unleash the brilliance of humanity on studying these things, and not with the mind, not only with the mind. I mean, our minds have a use. You need to, you know, to read. I'm happy that you included the science in this book and the math, because we need that. Many of us have studied that, and even if we haven't, you do provide an entryway into understanding it. It's not so, you know, you don't need a master's degree to understand Hardwired to Heaven, not at all. But the thing is we need to redirect humanity to studying what really matters, which is the actual nature of reality, instead of denying that it exists. And
uh-huh.
and I think the
uh-huh.
evidence of work like you're doing, Joan, and others, is waking people up to the reality of, you know, we're not really focusing on the things that matter. And in fact, that's exactly what they're focusing on, is the material world, how they think of it, and we need to focus
mm-hmm,
on something mm-hmm, much greater
mm-hmm.
than that. But the material world is a part of that, that with a capital T.
Yeah. So, well, you know, a lot of the societal structures and all didn't want us to focus on.
Yes. Yes.
These important
so
matters.
So true.
You know, and now, sorry, too many of us are waking up, and
yep.
you know, we've gone past the 100th monkey and whatever else, you know. So, I think we've reached critical mass. So.
Yes. Yes.
Thankfully.
You know, it's so funny. We've had a couple synchronicities. There was a show, our show, the minute we started really talking about creating, the show started trending more, like popped. The minute I said we are creators, the show popped onto the front page of Blog Talk Radio, just like that. That happened just now. And then also next to the show has been this other show about critical mass. About reaching critical mass. And I'm looking not on the front page. I don't know if it's on the front page, but it was on the live show page. You know, I multitask as I'm doing this show. I'm my little scientist, whatever, my computer scientist is always wandering around while I talk and listen and looking for these things, you know, how just seeing how it's doing. And I thought that was funny because, yes, just a minute ago, it may even still be there on the live show page. There's another show right next to ours that said, you know, it has to do with critical mass. And that's a synchronicity. I mean, we really are. I believe we are, Joan. And we're co-creating just where we choose this species. You know, we're going to override the fear-based culture. I mean, magic or being aware of one's magical reality trumps anything in the fear-based world. I mean, it just, you know, it's not like we're taking over mm-hmm. with a big O, but in a sense we are. Love is taking over. Love is taking over on this planet, and it's always been a part of us. It's just going to take over in a big way now.
Yes, yes. And you know, another synchronicity, I was on another radio show yesterday, and we were talking
uh-huh.
about something very similar that what you were saying about science and about science really teaching in a holistic perspective that I've really been envisioning, you know, and wanting that, you know, instead of just teaching, okay, here's a cell and blah, 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 and here's a
uh-huh.
red blood cell and blah, 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 you know, well, do you know that this red blood cell that the heart pumps has its own consciousness and is really responsible for the consciousness and the bloodline, you know. And there's a lot more with blood to be unearthed. I just scratched the surface in my last blog, but, you know, going from person to person down the bloodline, the ancestry, and it looks like a Taurus, and that's the way the unified field is. You know that you're blah, 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 blah. Now,
uh-huh.
maybe some kids would go to sleep, but maybe some kids would be like, wow, really?
Yeah.
You know, really?
Uh-huh.
You know,
well, I think more and more kids might.
Perspective.
Yes.
We come from our hearts when we teach this.
Yes.
Change it. We change it.
So true that science, as many of us encountered it, was so sterile. And although not everyone, because we tended to, it could excite us. But there are some, if it's not presented to us in a real kind of a way, it can feel so sterile. And that's why a lot of kids, math too, I mean, they are steered
yeah.
away from it. I mean, because it's not presented in an alive kind of way where, you know, this is the nature of reality. And I think more of these kids are going to start making connections because they're coming into the world aware at a much earlier age, and they're just going to make the connections whether some of their teachers do or not, although
mm-hmm.
I think their teachers
mm-hmm.
are starting to come awake too, some of them, as you
yeah,
think, as you are.
Yeah, I think that's why we have such a chasm right now in the educational system, is because we have these new children coming in
uh-huh.
and the system and the way we've been teaching just doesn't jive.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They don't want that. They don't need that. There's no heart there. There's no
yeah.
heart there. Mm-hmm. You know, and until we really wake up to this, that's why I say, you know, to really understand the importance of this, to really embody it and to live it. I mean, it's a game changer. It's a life changer.
Yes, that's it.
It really
is. It's a world changer.
It's a world changer.
Time. I mean, we need to claim this world for love, in a sense. I mean, it's time. I mean, we need this for humanity. And
yes.
Humanity is responding. I mean, I think that's what we're seeing, including the new kids that are arriving on this planet. It's time to take this world to the next level. The upgrade that you talk about. It's upgrade
<That's right>.
Time. Well,
yeah.
We are nearing the end of the show. It, as I expected and always seems to be the case, it went by fast, but what a stimulating conversation. I just love having guests like you on the show, Joan, because it's just so much fun.
Yeah.
And I appreciate what you've been sharing. Now, I want to give you the opportunity to once again remind people of where they can find out about your work. And if you have any, I don't know if you have anything upcoming coming up in terms of workshops or anything, but feel free right now to use this time to let people know about things that you have going on and where they can find you.
Okay. So if you're interested in purchasing the book, the easiest thing to do is just go to hardwiredtoheaven.com. And there you'll have links to whether you want to buy it from Amazon or Barnes & Noble, you want to get a Kindle version, the Nook, the Kobo, the iTunes, iBook, blah, blah, blah. That's all right there. And you can also go to joanserio.com. I have a blog there. I also have joanserio.blogspot.com. And you can follow me that way. You can sign up for my newsletter on either one of my websites. I don't have anything upcoming because I feel like I am getting ready to do something a little different.
Mm.
So I'm preparing for that, and I will keep you tuned, sign up for the newsletter. I think this year is going to be quite different for me, and who knows what's coming, because I know that my healing work started one way, and then it morphed into something else, and I developed my own little thing, and now I don't know. You know, it could be something like that. It could be something different, but I do feel something new coming in, and I do want to teach. So there will be opportunities. So just stay tuned and keep checking into the websites and buy the book and open your heart.
Well, that's
live
wonderful.
Live out of your sacred coordinate.
Yes. Well, I have to say, I think we'll all follow this with interest to see what's coming next for you, because we know how open you are to what your heart is saying. So I look forward to hearing more about it. And let me say in the final minute or so, thank you. Thank you so much for being here, Joan. I've really appreciated you coming back to the show, and I appreciate all the work that you're doing and the courage of your work. It takes courage. It really does to reveal all of this as a scientist, to reveal the true nature of reality. And so thank you for following your heart and sharing it with us.
Well, thank you, Susan. Thank you for having me on the show again. And the word courage comes from the French word cœur, meaning heart.
Yes. So true. So true.
Yeah,
well,
I really enjoyed our time together.
Oh, well, so did I. So did I. You have a wonderful afternoon. So take care.
Well, thank you. And everybody else, have a wonderful afternoon, too.
Yes, yes. And let me let the audience know really quick, the next show, unless I schedule one in between, which I might, is Saturday, December 13th, 7 p.m. Pacific. Sue Storm, internationally acclaimed angel visionary. She's even been on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. She will be on. She is the author of the Angel First Aid books. And that's this Saturday, special show, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, December 13th. So we say goodbye to the live audience now. Thank you for being here, live audience. I appreciate you very much. And I say hello specifically to the people listening in the archive. I know you've been with us all along, of course, and perhaps you'll be able to see some of these images that we will certainly put out there. I'll work with Joan. We can kind of get a couple images out on the Frontier Beyond Fear site, and you will know where to find them so you can see the illustrations that go along with our discussion today. But I just wanted to welcome you across time. When we talk about multidimensional reality, there is no separation in space or time. So you've been with us all along, archive audience, and no matter when you're listening to this show, it could be far in the future, who knows? You're here with me now. And I just wanted to say that, and Joan has been here with you as well today. So thank you, everyone, for being here. We will be doing more shows now. Things are, although I imagine we might have kind of a quiet time during the holidays, but the next couple weeks I will be doing some shows, and I'll aim to do some in the holiday period too. And then the new year promises to be really something very special. In fact, I'll take this moment just to let people know that I will be speaking in Los Angeles at the Los Angeles Conscious Life Expo, and those tickets are already on sale. ConsciousLifeExpo.com is the website, and I'm going to be speaking Saturday night, February 7th, if I'm getting the date right from memory, at 8 p.m., and I'm really looking forward to that, and I'll have a booth, too, and I'll have the books of all the guests. I'll have as many books as I can manage to carry to L.A. It's quite the combination now, and those books are out there for browsing so that you can just see the beautiful heart-based wisdom and the wonderful things that all of the guests to this show have been bringing into the world. And that worked out wonderfully well last year, and I plan to do it again, and there will be live shows from the expo. So now's a good time to plan, especially if you're coming in from out of town. If you'd like to come out there are going to be some really cool speakers out there. I know Greg Braden's one of the keynote speakers, and there are others as well. So, again, that's an upcoming appearance I have. And as soon as I get around to it, I'll put that out on the frontierbeyondfear.com website, and that's where you can find out about this show, frontierbeyondfear.com. And I've got some other things in the works as well that I hope to get out there. So I do invite you to come to that page and learn all about the guests that have been here and the upcoming guests that will be especially coming up in the new year, but also in the weeks to come. I am going to be doing the show more in December again, and I look forward to that because I love this time here with you. So with that said, thank you again, everyone. Find that peace on your path. Find that stillness. If you're like me, where, you know, it takes a little doing sometimes to slow down, just go out for a walk. No matter where you are, find that peace of nature and just breathe. Breathing is so important. In fact, just listen to your breath. You don't even have to control it. Just pay attention to your breathing as you're walking. Stop for a moment. Look at a leaf. I can focus on a weed, what some would call a weed, for quite a long time. Although this time of year, you know, it may be frozen where you are. Well, there are beautiful things to focus upon in the ice, if that's where you are, in the snow. No matter where you are, there is beauty that can take you home. And that's where you want to be. Home in the heart space. Take care, everyone. Thank you.